Hello, this is Michael Steve from Kaplan Financial. And in this podcast, I'm going to be talking about VAT, that wonderfully exciting tax, and in particular, VAT on food and catering. And what started me to think about this was the recent and startling Pringles case. But first, we're going to deal with food. There's no doubt that in our client bases, we're very likely to have clients that are in food or catering, ranging from sandwich deliveries to offices and market stalls, right through to staff canteens and large-scale caterers. So, what are the rules? Let's start with food. Basic food is, of course, zero rated, with the nicey nices standard rated. So, milk, bread and meat are zero rated, and crisps are standard rated. Now, let's have a look at Pringles. In the Pringles case, the Court of Appeal judges were asked to deal with the VAT treatment of Pringles. Remember that potato-based products are standard rated, but not, notice, rice and maize-based products. These came on the scene later and were therefore missed by the legislation. So we'd end up with a remarkable result that a packet of Marmite crisps are standard rated, while Doritos and prawn crackers are zero rated. In the Pringles case, the judges were asked to decide whether a Pringle is potato based. They are actually made from potatoes, but that only forms about 40% of the finished product. The rest is fat, various starches and flavourings. Pringles barristers tried to argue that although they had potato, the essential nature of the Pringle was not potato. And after a long wrangle, and perhaps not surprisingly, the Court of Appeal judges were unanimous in having none of it, and they decided that Pringles were potato-based, and the exact proportion was not of itself critical. They were potato-y in nature. And not surprisingly, that's going to be expensive for the makers of Pringles. But now let's turn to catering. The basic rule on catering is dead straightforward. If a supply is one of catering, then it cannot at any price take the zero rate in Group 1 of Schedule 8 of the mighty VAT Act. So we've got to decide what is meant by catering. Well, not surprisingly, catering is given its ordinary meaning. It's a supply involving a significant element of services. So obvious examples would include supplies made in cafes, restaurants, third-party catering for functions such as weddings, and a supply of cooking provided to a customer, for example, at a dinner party. But remind yourself too that there are some supplies that are not in the course of catering, and the most obvious one is a retail supply of cold takeaway food. Not hot, that's always standard rated, but retail supplies of cold takeaway food. A good example there would be a zero-rated drink that is served cold. But what happens if one of your clients delivers sandwiches and groceries, say, to office buildings? There was a famous case called Zeldaline, which came up in the 1990s, and this said that a supply of sandwiches, by way of what you might have thought was catering, was not actually standard-rated, where it was cold food, where the supply was made to an office where the person who was doing the catering round didn't actually have a right to be there. So if they just turn up and they say, here we've got some brie sandwiches and people choose to buy those, then that is going to be a zero-rated supply of a cold brie sandwich because it's not in the course of catering. Now, the next question, because it comes into the VAT legislation in Group 1 of Schedule 8, is the concept of premises. If you supply catering on a premises or food on a premises, then that will always be catering, and it's only got the possibility of being zero rated for supplies off the premises where these are cold food. So, you must always charge VAT at the standard rate if you make a supply of food and drink for consumption on the premises on which it is supplied. And also you've got to charge VAT at the standard rate. If you supply hot takeaway food, that's food for consumption away from the premises. And therefore, it's pretty important to know what the word premises means. Now, if you go into the customs notice, then they will give you some example of what you mean by premises. A restaurant, a cafe, a retail outlet in a shopping centre. And in this example, the outlet itself and any chairs and tables in designated areas are part of the premises. Supposing you had a shop on the high street. The premises then are the outlet itself plus any areas containing chairs and tables just outside. A retailer in a shopping centre with a food court is something that is tackled in the notice as well. And there the premises are the retail outlet plus the chairs and tables within the food court. Okay, so that's premises. Not always obvious, but we have to apply the circumstances and look at these circumstances rather carefully. But what about takeaway food and drink? What's the liability of takeaway food and drink? Hot takeaway food and drink is always going to be standard rated. And cold takeaway food and drink is zero rated, providing it's not of a type which is of itself standard rated, such as crisps and sweets and beverages and bottled water and so forth. I'm sure you'll agree it's getting a bit complicated. But let's have a look at takeaway food and drink. Remind yourself that if it's going away hot, that will be standard rated. And if it's off the premises and it's cold, it can be zero rated. So the next question we have to ask is, what do we mean by hot? Hot food, standard rated. Right. Hot food means above the surrounding air temperature. And a good example of standard rated sales when they're sold hot are going to be fish and chips. So a fish and chip shop is always going to be making standard rated sales of fish and chips because they're hot when they leave the shop and they're meant to be eaten hot. Chips. Takeaways of various ethnic sorts such as Chinese, Greek, Indian. Baked potato stalls. I'm sure you have clients with baked potato stalls. Even with a hot or a cold filling, they are going to be hot and taken away and intended to be eaten hot. Other examples, of course, and here in the title, hot dogs, pies, sausage rolls, pasties, and similar item. Where it gets a little bit more complicated is when we have freshly cooked products. If you sell freshly cooked products for consumption while they're still hot, then they're going to be standard rated. An obvious example would be a pie. But sometimes they are cooling down, and a good example of there would be bread. Even though it's sold above ambient temperature, people buy hot bread because it's very appealing. And as a result of that, that is on its way to being eaten cold, and that does not have to be standard rated. And because bread is a staff of life and a basic foodstuff, then that can be zero rated when it's sold for consumption while off the premises. Now, sometimes people try and plan around this. A good example would be if you sell a cold pie, a cold sausage roll, in, say, a petrol station shop, and then you provide a microwave after the point of sale, and if they want to heat it up, then they can do that, then you might be tempted to think that that would be a zero-rated sale. The court cases have held that these are always going to be standard-rated supplies. So as we head off down towards the end of this podcast about food and catering, wouldn't it be great if we were selling a hot dog and we tried to assert that the hot dog centre was standard rated and the bread or the bun or the bap in which it actually sits was zero rated, and we could save ourselves some VAT? Well, not surprisingly, the whole supply is sadly standard rated, so no chance of trying to do a little bit of tax planning there. That is slightly different, though, for situations where you have hot and cold food that are sold at the same time. So if you sold a mixture of standard rated and zero rated items for, say, an inclusive price for consumption off the premises, then you'll have to work out the tax value of each item. A good example of that would be burger chips and a milkshake. Obviously, the milkshake is able to take advantage of the zero rate, while the burger and the chips will have to be standard rated. There's one last area in VAT that I would like to cover, and that is in respect of catering provided at private schools. You'll be aware that there's a difference between private schools. They are in business and they provide exempt education. So if you've got a private school, for example, that provides lunches at lunchtime, then the lunches themselves would perhaps rather surprisingly not be standard rated. They would be exempt because they are incidental to the exempt supply of education provided by the private school. And that is, of course, different to a state school, because state schools are regarded as non-business and VAT recovery comes through the local authority. Well, there you go, folks. There's my take on food and catering. I think it's a wrap. Cheerio.